The last enemy to be destroyed is death. On this day the Lord has acted, we will rejoice and be glad in it. In the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, the Lord is risen. Sounds great with a packed cathedral. My goodness. We sing Alleluia, which means praise the Lord, and we shout it to one another because God has intervened, as we sang on the way in, that in Jesus Christ, God has rescued, redeemed, and will raise us with Him. On the cross, Jesus bore your sin and paid the penalty for all of them. Your sins were buried with Him in the grave, and then He left them behind in the grave forever. And now He's risen from the dead, victorious over Satan, sin, hell, death, and the grave, and He will raise you up to His throne. Sin's defeated, death is dead, Jesus is alive, and He's making all things new. And so this morning, this Easter, we have absolutely every reason to celebrate. But let's be honest, this sometimes sounds like a really good thing to celebrate for an hour on Easter, maybe too good to be true, like it's a nice, well-meaning sentiment, but how is this helpful in the face of real life? We know all too well the life is filled with suffering and sin and sorrow. So what does Easter mean when you feel overwhelmed by guilt and condemnation? What does it mean for the grief of a miscarriage, for the haunting wounds of abuse and the shame that seems to cling to you, for the addiction that grips you and the regrets that you can't undo, for the diagnosis that you always feared, for the despair that just doesn't lift, when violence shatters a place that should have been safe, when the lie grows louder and louder that ending it all would finally make the pain stop? We live in a world of sadness, a world that no mere sentiment can fix. I've been listening to a song by Jason Gray called Every Sad Thing Is Coming Untrue. I'm going to read to you from part two. There's four songs, so if you want to find the song, make sure you get part two. They're all good, but part two is what we're looking at. At the very beginning of the song, it captures the ache of real life. And he says this, he sings this, another nail in another coffin, arms that held you return to dust. Yet in our grief, we know death must be a liar, for no goodbye is ever good enough. How could it be? Everything sad is coming untrue. That's the question. We have Alleluia, Christ is risen, and then we have real life. And that's the question I have, and maybe you have. How could it be that everything sad is coming untrue? I love that line because it acknowledges our desire for a better world. We all have a longing for healing, for forgiveness, for wholeness. Deep down, we have a yearning that death, sin, sorrow are not the final word on you. In his masterpiece, Brothers Karamazov, Dostoevsky, wrestling with the brutality of suffering, writes this, I believe, like a child, that suffering will be healed and made up for, that it will suffice for all hearts, for the comforting of all resentments, for the atonement of all the crimes of humanity, and that it will make not only possible for us to forgive, but to justify all that has happened. That's a beautiful hope, but to say all our suffering will be healed can seem impossible, and as he put it, maybe childish or an idle hope. But what if the impossible has already begun? Just after the climax of Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, Sam Gamgee discovers that his friend Gandalf is not dead, as he thought, and he's alive, right? He thought he was going to be dead, so he comes to and he sees his friend, and he says, Gandalf, I thought you were dead, but I also thought myself dead. What's happened with the world? Is everything sad going to come untrue? The answer for the Christian faith is absolutely yes. Because Jesus rose from the dead, everything sad is coming untrue. And it will be somehow greater for having been once broken and lost. In the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that means that everything sad is being undone, that all suffering will be redeemed. All your brokenness will be healed. All your sorrow will be transformed into joy. That's why Tim Keller, a pastor who's recently died, preached a sermon on the resurrection right after the September 11th attacks. And he said this, on the day of the Lord, the day when God makes everything right, the day that everything sad comes untrue, on that day, the same thing will happen to your own hurts and sadness. You will find that the worst things that have ever happened to you will in the end only enhance your eternal delight. That's scandalous to say that kind of thing. The question from Tolkien in the mouth of Sam, is everything sad coming untrue, is profound, but that's the scandal. He's not saying, are good things going to happen? He's asking whether the sad things will be undone. And his question recognizes that there's something wrong with the world, that it's a place that has some blessings, but it's filled with sadness, cursed by sin. It's not the way it's supposed to be. But because Jesus is alive, all sad things one day will be made untrue. The resurrection doesn't just heal wounds. It overturns and rolls back the curse itself. And this is what Paul was telling us in Romans 8 when he said, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. He's not minimizing your suffering. He's maximizing the glory that's to come. Your suffering, my suffering is real, but the glory that's coming because of Jesus is greater still. Tolkien, who asked the question through his characters, are all sad things coming untrue? He knew suffering. He was a soldier in World War I. And he said that the very best stories have a you catastrophe. Not a catastrophe, but a you catastrophe, which he says is a sudden, unexpected turn toward joy. And he said that the greatest you catastrophe of all human history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where joy breaks through sorrow, where life conquers the finality of death. The resurrection is not an idle myth, and it's not a sentiment. It's the power of God breaking into your darkness, announcing that death is not the final word on you. If the resurrection were only a sentimental idea, the promise that sadness could come untrue would collapse under the weight of the real world. But because the resurrection is true, it changes everything. And the promise of Revelation 21, this is what the empty tomb shouts into the middle of our darkness. He, the risen Lord, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. Behold, Jesus says, I'm making all things new. The beauty of that is that it doesn't remove the heartache of every loss we feel right now, but it anchors it in the context of eternity. If Jesus Christ really actually raised from the dead, as we read in Corinthians, if he really walked out of the tomb and appeared to hundreds of people who testified to it and banked their life on it, if he was dead and then raised from the dead, it's no sentiment to say then everything's going to be all right. Whatever we're worried about right now, whatever we're afraid of, whatever we're grieving, the promise is that it's going to be okay. The resurrection does not erase your grief. It doesn't silence your mourning. It promises that while you grieve, you can grieve with hope. Gabriel Marcel puts it together, just an Easter promise. Hope is a memory of the future. Hope is a memory of the future. Because Jesus is risen, the eternal joy Christ secured for you is already reaching back out of the future into your present sorrow right now. This victory over death shapes how you endure now, with the hope that is alive, that's real, that's unstoppable. Because if Jesus has been raised from the dead, it will be okay. Christianity does not traffic in escapism. It's not mere consolation. The story of Christianity is the story of this week. It's death and resurrection. And it means not only you, but the entire world is being made new by the risen Jesus. There's more to Jason Gray's song. He started saying, how could everything sad become untrue? Then he continues, every father helpless and angry, every mother with her heart on the shelf, every daughter whose innocence was stolen, every son who couldn't help himself. The winter can make us wonder if spring was ever true, but every winter breaks upon the Easter lily's bloom. Could it be everything sad is coming untrue? Could you believe everything sad is coming untrue? I love through his song, he moves from how could it be that everything sad is coming untrue to this kind of wonder, could it be that everything sad is coming untrue, to hope, this could you believe that everything sad is coming untrue? This shift from despair to wonder to hope is captured in C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, in which there's this place called Narnia. And Edmund, who's one of the children, had betrayed his family and fallen under the White Witch's power. According to the deep magic written into Narnia's very foundation, all traitors belong to the White Witch, and she had the right to demand his life, and she did. But then Aslan, who's the great lion, who represents Jesus Christ, steps in and offers himself in Edmund's place. And the White Witch begins to gloat, certain she finally conquered her archenemy, Aslan. And she says to Aslan before his death, you know, Aslan, that every traitor belongs to me as my lawful prey. And for every treachery, I have a right to a kill. And so then the forces of darkness just pounce on him, and they jeer and mock as Aslan's humiliated. They shave his mane, they bind him, and he's slain. And Edmund's sisters, Lucy and Susan, are heartbroken, and they weep over his body throughout the entire night. When Aslan is killed on the stone table, it's clear that evil has won. But at dawn, they hear a great cracking sound. The stone table has split in two, and they see Aslan alive. Asking for an explanation, they're wondering, what in the world just happened? We saw you die. And he explains, though the White Witch knew the deep magic, there is a deeper magic still, which she did not know about. When a willing victim like me, who had committed no treachery, was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack, and death itself would start to work backwards. The stone table cracks. Aslan rises and death is undone. And so it is with Jesus. There is a deeper magic. The eternal love and mercy of God that is stronger than sin, Satan, hell, and the grave. And this is not a fairy tale optimism of childhood stories. This is reality, sealed by the empty tomb in a risen Jesus who promised, "I am making all things new." And it's that promise that Jason Gray ends his song with when he says, "Broken hearts are being unbroken. Bitter words are being unspoken. The curse undone. The veil is parted. The garden gate will be left unguarded." Could it be everything sad is coming untrue? Oh, I believe everything sad is coming untrue in the hands of the one who is making all things new. What does this mean for you and me that Jesus is alive, death is undone, the curse is broken, and everything sad is coming untrue? How does that touch down for us when we walk out of this service in about an hour? There are three invitations, and they're all for you. Pick one, pick two, pick three, whichever ones you like and whichever ones you need. If you are weary, hear Jesus say, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Or maybe you doubt that it does sound childish or like a sentiment and a myth, and there's good reasons to believe it's completely real. But if you're doubting, cry out to him, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And if you believe, rejoice. Just hold fast to Christ, trusting that he's making all things new, and live in the light of the resurrection, knowing your entire story is secured. And so whether you're weary, whether you're doubting or believing, come. Come to Jesus, who won for you a joy that can never be stolen, a love that can never be lost, and a hope that can never be shaken. Thanks be to God that because Jesus is alive, all things sad are coming untrue, and you are invited and given a joy that will never end. So now, one last time, alleluia, the Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia.